Praise God. Yeah, here we go. It's good to see everybody here this evening. I'm going to try something different. I'm going to be down here in front. I seem to be a little more relaxed when I'm like down here. And if you want to get close to the anointing, come on down like Crystal. Praise God. Yeah. The Lord is good, isn't he? If you're visiting with us, I'm glad that you're here. We're going to have some fun on Wednesday night. Starting next week in some areas, I'm going to be teaching about Holy Spirit. You know, one thing about the Holy Spirit, I know about him, is that Holy Spirit, I believe Holy Spirit is so on go. I believe he is so ready, anxious to move and touch our hearts and our lives. And his objective, and he accomplishes that, is to speak into the hearts of every single human on the planet. Whether we respond or not, that's up to us. But he does that. He speaks into our hearts about Jesus, about our lives, but to believe in Jesus, that's what he does. He draws us to the Father to make that decision. He is so much on go. The day that he came, you know, when Jesus sent him to the earth to fill our hearts was a very unique day. You know, the day that when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, he spent 40 days on the earth after he was raised from the dead, spent a lot of time with disciples and with the apostles, and spent a lot of things, did things that are not recorded. It says that he revealed himself in many different ways. So he did that for 40 days until the time that he said, listen, okay, I want you to go, and I want you to wait until I send the promise, the Holy Spirit, to you. That was another 10 days. So from the time, you know, of the day that he was buried until the day of Pentecost was 50 days. And so 10 days. And so when the Holy Spirit came, man, I'm telling you what, he made an entrance. He really made an entrance. I mean, he came in when and you think about that, about 120 people in the upper room came together. They were praying every day and praying. Hey, that was a pretty good sized building, come to think about it. You got 120 people gathered in one room, you know, upstairs and praying. So it's a pretty good sized room, but it was indoors. And then when the Holy Spirit came, he came and as it made such an impact, like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And I think tornado. I mean, I've seen a lot of tornadoes in my life. And, you know, you hear when they come, they make a real noise and a sound that is sometimes scary when you're real close. But that happened on the inside. Think about this sound of the wind rushing, but it didn't. There's no debris flying around, no stuff gonna, you know, people getting injured by all the room being turned upside down. And there's like these cloven tongues of fire on every head that was in that room. But you got to think about this. That was so impactful that people around the city were hearing this. It wasn't just in that room, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The devout Jews, the 3,000 or so that ran to that noise, ran to that sound, wanted to see what was happening, and then suddenly they see all these guys gathered and they're speaking in their native tongue. I mean, that was an impressive day. I mean, the Holy Spirit made an entrance. He impacted that whole city there where people were coming to see what was this sound. It's the Holy Spirit. I just love the Holy Spirit, and he is with us. He's walking with me, but he's not only with me, he's on the inside of me. So, you know, recently I did a class, it's like a life group class, but a class on the Holy Spirit to take us a step further about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that? What part does he play in my salvation? What part does he play in my daily walk with the Lord, being a witness with the Lord? And I dare say so many people in the church world don't understand that. They don't understand the depth of that. So, and someone in that class said, hey, you need to bring that on a Wednesday night. Let's just study it on a Wednesday night. And I think that's what I'm going to do starting next week. And then we will go into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit moves as he desires and what impact that has on us and should have on us. And we don't see it enough because we don't teach it enough. We don't talk about it enough. So, right? All right. So I'm going to be sharing that Sunday, and kind of be a preemptive people so people could know it. And also the convenience of it so that people don't have to set another night aside other than Wednesday and Sunday to come and sit down, let's study the Word and all of that. So we'll start that next Wednesday, and then we'll see where God takes us on that, okay? Y'all good with that? Okay, good. But tonight I want to take you through the Scripture about how to position ourselves for the blessings of God. But before we go there, I want to go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1. I want to share a particular Scripture with you there. Out of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 3, the NIV, and it says this in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles." So, you know, we have a God, a Father that is compassionate, and a God that can comfort us. We got a wonderful Father. We got a wonderful God. He's not a mean, hateful God, a judgmental God that's just hammering us and driving us and mean to us. No, He's a God that brings comfort to us, and He's compassionate toward us. And He does comfort us in all of our troubles. Now, look at the rest of the verse. "So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So see, there's like a twofold thing in this. When God brings comfort to you, He's expecting it to go beyond just you. And when you meditate on that, you know, many times you're praying, say, "God, I need your comfort. I need a word of assurance. I need to feel your loving embrace. I need something from you supernaturally." And then many times He'll speak into our heart as you're struggling through something, you're going through something. But you got to understand that it's something more than just a supernatural touch from God. Because if it's a comfort that you can take and you can relay that to other people, it's a transferable comfort that you can take to somebody else. Y'all getting this? So if you have ears to hear, and God is able to reach our dumb head with a little word of comfort, you know, sometimes, we're so hard-headed and we're so bent on our own whining and complaining that we don't have ears to hear when even our wife is trying to comfort us. "I don't want to hear that," you know. So, but, you know, if you have ears to hear and you have a heart that's receiving and understanding it, well, see, you can go to someone else that's going through something similar maybe that you're going through. And maybe at that point they can't hear it, but they just need someone they can connect with. And you can relay that to them. Are y'all getting this? Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, when people are going through hard times, many times they're looking for an answer from someone who has made it through that. Yeah. It's not so much, you ever gone through something that, and you don't really, when someone comes to you and says, "Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're feeling. Know exactly what you're going through," and you're thinking, "Good, how did you get through it?" I don't so much want to hear that you went through it. I want to hear how you made it through it. How did God get you through that? How did God reach you in that? What is it that, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's an excellent scripture there. You know, comfort is soothing and consoling and reassuring and bringing cheer to people. Listen, when God comforts you, you got something that you can go and help somebody else. When God helps you get through something, go help somebody else get through it, right? In other words, we need each other. We need to be there for one another, right? And the word of comfort that you need, you're crying out to God, and maybe you need to just listen to your brothers and sisters who have been through something and allow yourself to be comforted. Allow yourself to be ministered to be encouraged by one another, right? Okay, well, let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms," in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. And, you know, when I think about the blessings of God, there's so many scriptures that talk about material blessings and spiritual blessings, and I'm thinking, God, I want to understand this. I want to gain from this. If I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, then what is that? You know, because Lord, today I don't feel like I'm experiencing all these blessings, and I want to tap into it. I want to see what it is. And even Paul talked a lot about it. He even there's times when he's talking about to the Gentiles. Man, he got down on the material level. He said, listen, if you Gentiles are enjoying the spiritual blessings of the Jews, they have every right to enjoy the material blessings of you, talking about those that are poor. There were Jewish people that were lacking, and they were in poverty, and they needed help. And so why wouldn't you? If you're enjoying the blessings of God and being included in the family, why can't you help them as well, not just the Gentiles? And then there was a time when Paul was in Romans talking about there that he said, I long to see you and to impart to you some spiritual gift. And then another letter, he was talking to them about coming and visiting them, and he said that, you know, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. So, man, I want to enjoy the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. What is it that God has for me? How does he want to bless me? What is it that I can draw from that? And, Lord, how do I position myself to receive the blessings of God? I don't think it's so much God abounding toward us as is us positioning to receive from God. Because God is abounding toward us. It's just like when Jesus talked to the disciples about having ears to hear. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. The problem's not God talking, it's us hearing with a hearing heart, right? So we got to position ourselves to receive from the Lord. So, you know, I think about how we praise God and how do we reach into God and love on God and bring our sacrifice of praise. How do we truly praise God if something's wrong with our hearts? How do we truly praise God if we're locked into some kind of confusion in our daily walk with God, you know? So, God, I want to work on some of these things. And so I've got a couple of examples here of some spiritual truths about just simply about church life that I read in the Scripture and I say, okay, hey, that applies today. And I want to get into God's blessings. And I see some spiritual truths that happen in the church life, the church world, the church life that can affect our blessings and us receiving from God. And I went over to Zechariah, the 13th chapter. Now, in Zechariah, I'm referring back to this because Jesus referred to it, and he went back to this scripture as a prophetic word when he was crucified on the cross. And I'll show you the principle I'm talking about here in just a moment. But in Zechariah, God was jerking the slack out of the Jewish people because they were worshiping idols. Their prophets were prophesying evil. They weren't representing God. They weren't hearing from God. And it got so much that where the prophets were saying, when people say, aren't you a prophet? Oh, no, 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 I'm a farmer. I mean, I've been farming all my life. You can read this in Zechariah. They didn't want to take responsibility because, man, it was coming on their head. I mean, they were being held accountable, and God was getting rid of all the idols and everything and cleaning the house. And what he said here, let's look at verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Man, that ought not be. That was what was happening back then, that people that when you're around family, that should be a safe zone. That should be a place of refuge, that you shouldn't be wounded by your friends and your family. And so that was what was happening here. And so it goes in verse 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it goes on to say that the sheep scattered. And man, a lot of destruction happened to them. About a third of them were salvaged out of this situation. And God began to refine them, to purify them. And it says in verse 9, and I will bring the third party, the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now the word smite here, the Hebrew meaning to smite, is to strike lightly or severely, literally or figuratively, to beat, give stripes, cast forth, give wounds, kill, punish, and slaughter. Now, when I was looking at this, I saw a spiritual principle. And when I'm reading about Jesus referring back to it, about when you smite the shepherd, the sheep scatter. When the shepherd is smote, is that right? Is that proper English? When the shepherd is smote, the sheep scatter. Now, in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 31, Then Jesus said to them, You will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night, distrusting and deserting me. For it is written, and there he goes back, see, to the scripture in Zechariah, the prophetic word. It is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up to life again, I will go ahead of you to the Gentiles. Mark 14. Similar, he said, you will fall away, Jesus told them. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Now Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. Now, I brought this out to help us understand when it talks about the sheep being scattered. It's referring to them leaving. But now, with Peter, he understood it in a deeper understanding because what he said to him, it was disowning the Lord. To scatter from the Lord was to disown him, to deny him, and to walk away from him. And said, Lord, I'll not do that, even if I die with you. Now, this, of course, we know it actually happened when Jesus was crucified, put on that cross, taken into custody, and all that he went through. Boy, those jokers scattered. They were disheartened. They were discouraged, confused, disillusioned. And so, you know, when I look at this today, I see some spiritual truths that happen in the church world today. I see folks and groups that are disheartened because of things that happen to or through leadership. Wow. I see sheep disheartened. I see sheep that become confused. You know, when Kathy and I, we were in West Texas, and we were looking for a church around the Monahans area, and we visited about six churches. And every time, it was the most unreal thing. We would visit this church. They were right in the middle of a church split. It's like, whoa, I mean, we don't want this one. This is not where we're lying, you know. Kept looking for a good, solid church. But then they were just like sheep were disillusioned. They were discouraged. They were challenged. And, you know, and I come to this conclusion, leadership on any level cannot be attacked without the body being affected. Whether it's your children's church pastor, whether it's a senior pastor, whether it's Dwayne, myself, others, you can't do that without the body being affected. So where would the enemy want to attack? The leadership. So if you're in leadership, hey, get ready. It may be coming your way. So the point of it was is that they didn't see clearly. The disciples and apostles, the guys following Jesus, they didn't see the whole picture clearly. And then, of course, afterwards, understanding came and, you know, they repented of their actions and gathered back into the fold. So I thought it was kind of funny. Lord, even if I got to die with you, I'll not deny you. I'll not reject you. And then when Jesus got locked up, I said, whoa, I mean, you were literally talking about dying? Okay, now that's a different point, okay? And walk away, getting all scared and feared. I mean, they fell apart. Amen. So, you know, the thing is, we don't turn on one another, especially in leadership. But here's the thing. When we're referencing leadership, I didn't say you got to drink the Kool-Aid. I didn't say you got to swallow everything, agree with everything, and understand every move, bow down and worship our leaders, put them on a pedestal. No, we just got to learn how to get along and work with one another, right? But there is this balance, you know, we don't raise our hand in passing judgment on leadership, passing judgment on those that are over us or working, you know, in leadership roles. I can remember when we don't rebel against them. You know, after we first came here, Kathy and I came here, and everything was taking off. I had people coming to me that were saying, listen, you don't need Pastor Dwayne. What are you doing, man? They didn't understand the vision of multi-locational churches and one church, multiple locations, and you don't need this. You don't need Pastor Dwayne. You can just take off this church right here and, man, look what's going on. It's like, whoa, you're not seeing the vision. I'm not going to rebel against my leadership, right? Okay. I thought that would really bring a lot of harm to the sheep. So let's go over to James, the fourth chapter. You know, people just, a lot of times they just don't see. They don't understand. And they get confused. And two, that's another reason why we need to work with one another and help each other to comfort each other and walk through situations and things like that, right? Amen. I'm seeing a few more nods. Y'all are still with me, right? Now, James, the fourth chapter, this is where, you know, Kathy brought this to my attention shortly after we were married. And Kathy was, she was a good sounding board. I didn't ask for her to be a sounding board, but she was a good sounding board. There's times she would bring the revelations to me, and I just didn't, it's like, man, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that I'm the problem. So here in verse 1, let's just walk through a couple of scriptures here and see if we can draw from it. Because, see, I want to position myself to receive from God. I don't want anything hindering me receiving from the Lord, because He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so, God, I want to position myself. So look in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Now, I like the Passion Translation. What is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Now, that brought it down to where we can understand it, right? I mean, that gets on a family level, doesn't it? Anybody in their families ever have conflicts and quarrels? Don't raise your hand. Anybody's family other than me? You know, you can say wars and all these fightings, and that doesn't hit as solid until you say all these conflicts and quarrels. That gets right down to where we live. Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? I thought, whoa. See, when Kathy came home talking about a situation, an altercation I had, she said, Stan, and she used the script, said, "It's you're the problem. isn't it something going on inside of you?" And she expounded on that a little bit, you know. So I didn't really want to hear that I was a problem, but I had to realize and face it and say, yeah, I think I am the problem. So look at verse 2. It goes on to expound a little bit. Let's hit on a couple of these. It says, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, and yet you have not because you ask not. Now, you know, you and your family squabbles. You may not kill and be shooting each other, but you might. But it gets pretty intense at times, doesn't it? And people do this in the church world as well. These church splits, I was saying, man, oh, man. It was pretty vicious, you know, the way people treated each other. If you were here, some of you may have been. I don't know how many are in here that were here before Victory Life. Is there anybody in here that was here before Victory Life? Yeah, Gary here, back there, right here. Okay, a few of you. You know, and, you know, Pastor Jack and Peggy Joyce went through some real challenges. And I don't know how to, you know, attacks on leadership and church warfare, and you know what I'm saying? And you know, contention only comes by what? Pride. So something got in the way. And so here, but number one, it says you have not because you ask not. Now, when I looked at that and said, okay, now I need to understand that. I've got all these struggling things that are going on, and if my personal lust and desires are getting in the way of me receiving from God, and I have not because I ask not, it's almost like, okay, I'm trying to get this on my own without God. Because with God, I've got to have some trust and some patience. Are you with me? If you see something that you don't like, you know, are you trusting God with that? Are you praying about that? Are you having patience with that and believing God that God will straighten things out? Are y'all with me? And have we even asked God to take care of it? Yeah, I asked Him, but that was last week. He ain't done nothing yet. Okay, then, okay, where's the patience and the trust? Okay. Now look at verse 3. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. To me, that's about misguided or wrong motives. Maybe you have a good motive, but it's misguided in your application and how you're going to get about doing it, right? I want to receive the blessings of God. So I've got to position myself in my heart and keep my heart right to receive. Look down about verse 6, because it goes on about adulterers and adulterers and stuff. Of course, it doesn't apply to y'all, right? So we're just going to skip down through some of that. Okay, listen to that in verse 6. But God, he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He gives grace to the humble. What is grace? What is grace? That is where God empowers us to do things we can't do in and of ourselves, accomplish things that we can't accomplish in and of ourselves. And if we humble our hearts and trust and believe God and have patience, let our motives line up with his motives, he can empower us to do what we're hoping to do to begin with. Right? Amen. And he goes on, verse 8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen to the passion. This, move your heart closer and closer to God. Yeah, I want the blessings of God. Then I need to take my heart and move it closer to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. There in the passion it says, but make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. So you mean I got to work on my heart. I got to keep my heart pure to receive from God. Verse 9, let's look down in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, you got to meditate on that a little bit, see what he's saying there. You know what I'm saying? Right? Because he says, if you talk evil about your brother, then you're misjudging the law. You're speaking evil of the law. You're judging the law. Well, I'm thinking, okay, what am I doing here? Well, let's read the next verse and I can. He said, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? When you're passing judgment on someone else, you're violating the principles of the law. When to pass judgment, you have to have the capacity to make an authoritative decision, and God hasn't given us that right. He hasn't relinquished that. And when you say, I have the right to pass judgment on you, you're coming against the law itself. Nowhere in the law did it give you the right to do that. Right? You got to be a doer of the law, not a judge of the law. Because when you start judging them, you're judging the law too. The law doesn't give you the right to do that. God never relinquished that. God's the one that passes judgment. Now, I may judge your fruits and say, man, you're headed down the wrong, you're headed right down the wrong path, man. Let me pray with you. I feel my brother's at fault. Go to him privately and talk to him and try to win him, to walk right. But if I pass judgment, that's saying like, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never do this. You can't do that. Who am I to say that? Who am I to judge my brother? Right? We all came from the same dirt. Come on. But when I read this, drawing close to God, that's all about heart and my actions. Man, I want to receive all that God has for me. Then I need to look at my heart and what actions am I taking in my life toward God. Amen. One way to draw nigh to God is what? To praise him. We're going to go to Psalms 47. I want to draw nigh to God. The way that I can do that is to praise him. Well, I'll praise him when he does something good for me. Oops. Wrong. But I want to draw nigh unto God, and I want to praise him. And to be able to do that, you got to get your heart right. Look at Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible or awesome. He is the great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. Wouldn't you want that to happen with you? That God will defeat your enemies under your feet and nations bow down before your feet? He's talking to a desire that we would have. Look at verse 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Four times right there. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Now let me bring out a couple of things in this verse. Verse 1, it's a commandment to praise God. A commandment. How many of us are doing that? Are you with me? How many people are worshiping God? How many people are praising God? Come on. I'm the pastor, so I can say these things, right? Isn't it my job to step on people's toes a little bit? But I'm stepping on the toes of people not here tonight, right? Not y'all. How many times? Man, listen. I want to be in here from the first note to the first note that is sung or played on a musical instrument or sang from a voice. I want to be in here and bring my sacrifice of praise to the Lord. I never want to miss that. I've got a lot to be thankful for. I've got a lot to praise God for who He is in my life. And folks, I'm not beating anybody up, but I don't dally in the lobby when it comes time to worship the Lord, even if it's two songs. Come on. Everybody say, I love Pastor Stan, and I mean it. Okay. So see, the reason is I believe it's a command for me to praise God, and I'll look for opportunities. I'll do it in my vehicle running down the road. I mean, when I gave my life to the Lord, I started right off. I would sing. My welding truck, I've got 3 hours to a job. I'd sing nearly the whole time. If I'm not singing, I'm talking to the Lord. I mean, in there somewhere, I had to plan on my job and think of what I'm going to do, you know. But I felt it was a commandment to praise God. Amen. So it's a commandment. And then it also says to praise Him with understanding. To praise Him with understanding. So we need to get and gain understanding of the Lord. In Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To sing and praise God for His goodness and His greatness and who He is. And if we're going to sing praises with understanding, we need our hearts right, and we need the word of Christ to richly dwell on the inside of us. Need to be growing in the Word of God. Oh, yeah, Lord, I want all your blessings, but I don't want to get into finding anything out about you. That's kind of like the disciples say, oh, Lord, man, even I got to die with you. I'll die with you, but I'll never deny you. Well, wait a minute. You mean seriously die with you? You mean actually quit breathing? I'm out of here. All right? Will we go all the way with the Lord? Amen. Okay, I want to share a thought here about worship. And I believe that true and complete worship is to worship God for who He is, not just what He's done. Yeah. Now, see, it's okay, though. The natural progression of us as we walk with the Lord, especially beginning in knowing God, is where we begin to praise Him for what He's done. Number one, that He saved my soul. When you come in and you give your heart to Jesus and you confess Jesus as Lord, I mean, the day I did that, the night I did that, I felt like I had come home. Man, I had something to feel good about, something to be thankful for. But I've also realized that the more that I walk with the Lord, the more I grow in God, the more I begin to grow in knowledge about Him, is I'm going to be worshiping Him and praising Him for who He is, not just what He's done for me. It's all right to praise him what he's done for you. We need to praise him for who he is. If he never does another thing for me, he saved my soul. He redeemed me, pulled me out of darkness into light. So complete worship is worshiping for who he is. Even like the song we're singing, even when I don't see him, he's moving. Even when I don't feel him, he's moving. He's doing something. I have the faith in God for who he is because he's the kind of God that's abounding toward me. He loves me, and he's faithful to his word to accomplish it. Now listen, you know, there's four areas that are affected when you praise God. Man, you got to learn. You got to get into the spiritual armor, the spiritual weaponry, the spiritual power of praising God. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are spiritual principles that work even in the midst of a challenge, in the midst of a battle. When Kathy and I were going through such a hard time and lost everything, I mean literally lost everything, and even lost loved ones, and she began to be thankful. She thanked her way out of a hard situation, began to praise God in the midst of it. I mean, it's so funny, because when that came back to her, the Holy Spirit revealed that to her. I mean, I'm wanting an answer. Lord, give me an answer. Why is this happening to me? I've done nothing but serve you. I've done nothing but move. When you said move, I moved. I did all that you said to do. And why are we going through this? She began to say, in all things, give thanks. So, God, I'm even going to thank you for the house that I'm not accustomed to living in, but I'm thanking you for the fleas in the carpet. I'm thanking you for, you know, she began to say, Lord, I'm going to take it. And then joy began to rise in her heart. And then there's these areas that are affected when we praise God. Number one, God is moved and blessed by our praise. He's pleased with our praise. It doesn't move God, but it moves him in a sense that he loves our praise. And it opens that fellowship up. Number one, I believe that as we begin to praise, it begins to affect us. You know, our system is designed to respond to praise. When I begin to praise the Lord, it gets my focus on God, not me. When I begin to praise the Lord, it begins to get my focus on a solution, not the problem. It begins to affect my world. It's just like 1 Corinthians 14. I'll teach you about that as we move forward, about speaking in tongues. And that's one of those things that you can't talk in all groups and gatherings about tongues. But it says, when my spirit prays, when my spirit, I'm praying in spirit, praying in tongues, praying, it builds up my most holy faith. It's like a battery charger. That's what praise will do for you. Man, when I come in on a Sunday morning, there's times I don't, just being honest, okay? I'm like you. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be in bed. You know what I'm saying? So one of those, he said, oh, baby, I don't want to go to church. Them people down there, they don't like me. They talk bad about me. But you got to go. You're the pastor. Oh. So when I get down here, that's why I want to hit the first note. The first note of singing and playing. I want to bring in my sacrifice of praise. Because there's times I don't feel good, just like y'all. There's times that I need a shot in the arm, a spiritual shot in the arm. And by the time praise is over, man, I'm feeling better. I got to worship Jesus. I got to focus on things that are important, and that's me loving him and him loving me, and let him love on me a little during that time, right? Now, the other thing is that it also, when we praise the Lord and have praise on our lips and praise in our lifestyle, it affects others. You know, when we're praising in the flesh, because I sound good, I got a good voice, that can offend people. But when it's true worship from the heart, that's not going to run off the lost, because the lost are looking for authenticity. They want something real, right? So when you have a heart of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, it affects other people. They come in and say, yeah, okay, you're the real thing. I look for the real thing. Kathy's surgeon that did her surgery this last week, and we were given her name by someone here that lived here. And I'm telling you, that guy's the real thing as far as a Christian. I mean, I've met a lot of doctors, and they say they're a Christian. And if you ask them to pray, yeah, they'll break down and say a short prayer or whatever, you know. And I'm not saying they're not. But this guy is aggressive in his faith toward Jesus. He comes in pre-op and talking to Kathy, and everything's all right. And you know how they do all their little pre-op things. And he took her hand and said, "Now, come on, let's pray." And he just began to pray, and it was a wonderful prayer. I mean, it was fabulous. Touched my heart. I needed that too. And so it meant a lot to us. But I tell you, somebody else that it'll affect is Satan. Man, when you begin to praise the Lord, all of his ugly designs, all the things that he has planned for you, it's our offensive weapon toward him. Yeah, he loses strength in your life when you begin to praise the Lord. When you pour it out to God and you're obedient to God and your faith arises in your heart, it's going to cause him to walk away from you. He can't stand that. Amen. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I'm going to resist him by praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're everything in my life. God, you're my master, my savior, my friend, and my love, and begin to worship him. Man, he doesn't want to hear that stuff. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let me just share a couple other things and try to wrap this up. Let me share an amazing scripture with you. Psalms 149, verses 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints." Man, we need to be praising God when we come together. All of us. "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance." Uh-oh. Don't even go there, Pastor. Don't even go there. Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm down here a lot of times. I ain't moving a whole lot on the outside, but inside I'm dancing up a storm, man. Come on. It's hard to get this 220 pounds to jump much, okay? "Let him sing praises unto him and the timbrel with the timbrel in the harp." Now look at this, verse 4. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people." The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. "He will beautify the meek with salvation." Have you ever thought about that? When we come in, you and I all together in one accord, and we begin to worship and praise God and love on each other and encourage one another, how God is gaining pleasure out of that. How he enjoys the gathering of the believers in the house of the Lord just like we do. God takes pleasure in you and you loving on him. Amen. Psalms 35, a couple more scriptures and I'll close. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God takes pleasure in you prospering, benefiting, growing, being blessed. God takes pleasure in that. Amen. Now listen, here's the thing. If you praise him in private, oh, you will praise him in public. If you have a pure heart before God in your personal life, in your prayer life, in your quiet times, you can't contain it when we come together with other people that like to praise the Lord. Right? Amen. Last scripture, Psalms 134, verse 1. "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." When you yield in lifting your hands in the sanctuary, it's an act of submission. It's an act of submission. Now, I know, I mean, some of us starting out, it's like, okay, Lord, I got them. There, you see them, Lord, they're up. And then you go to the, I don't know what this is, you go to the carry the baby stance, you know. And then it's a little bit further, offering the baby up maybe, I don't know. But then you said, yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to lift my hands in the sanctuary because we're going to be doing this for eternity, right? I mean, let that work on you, just being able to yield your heart to the Lord, not worrying about what everybody else thinks. Don't hesitate to pray because you know the impact and the benefit of worshiping the Lord. Are you with me? The praise to worship. Don't forget the benefit, the impact that it has in your life. I can remember, and I'll share this story in close since I'm past time, but when we get in here and share about the prayer language, the speaking in the tongues, I don't know, some of you in here may have never heard anything about that. I'm going to teach you about that. I'm not going to get weird on you, but I'm going to get reality with you, okay, in the Scripture. Yes, I do pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, according to Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, is praying, Holy Spirit praying through you. It's praying in tongues. And I didn't go to church. I didn't know any of this stuff in church. I didn't have anything against it because I didn't know anything about it. Now, I never had anybody teach against it. Okay? Kathy did. She said, that's of the devil. I don't have nothing to do with it. Okay? Well, she's the one that sucked me in on it. Okay? The Lord got her. She's on a slippery slope, loving the Lord. But I heard it when I was going to college. I went to a church, and it was an AG church, Assembly of God Church. My folks were going, and they were inviting me to go. And so I'd go occasionally, you know. And I can't say that I'd gone to an AG church much ever, if ever, growing up. But that preacher, when he would preach, he'd preach right at me every service. It's like, Mom, y'all telling him stuff. What are y'all talking to him? Y'all telling him stuff about me? You know, no, it's just that I needed to hear everything he had to say. But one night, I understand what it is now, he gave an altar call. I didn't know what all that was. And I heard him up there singing. He was singing and walking back and forth on their little stage. You know, God break every fetter. And I thought, has he got a lisp? He's talking about feathers and he's not able to say it. Fetter. I didn't know what I had to go look up what fetter is. That's chains. Chains. Chains, okay? Break every chain. Why didn't he just say chain? I'm a Texan. But I had to, you know, some things that was just, okay, I don't understand all this stuff. It was Christian lingo, okay? I didn't know any Christian lingo. And then I heard him one night speaking in a language running up and down that stage. And I thought, wow, that sounds pretty cool. He must have learned that at preacher school because I don't recognize the language or nothing. But it sounds pretty cool. I don't know what it is, but it's all right. And then I saw my mom go down one day for prayer, and she began to speak in tongues. I said, whoa. Whoa. Now, you know, I tease sometimes that, you know, my mom's an Okie. I'm a Texan. She's an Okie. Okay, OU Texas games. Okay, I'd say, you know, my mom does good to speak good English instead of that. She don't put on airs. She's down there talking in tongues. But I thought she had to be holy to get it because I thought very highly of my mom. Well, when I got prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, March 23rd, 1976, and I did receive the Holy Spirit, and it changed my life. I had a fire in my boldness in my heart that I'd never felt before. It radically changed who I was. I went home the next week. Kathy and I knelt in our living room and led my sister to the Lord. And another week, my brother-in-law. And then within 6 weeks, about 70 people got saved in our home group. And it was because of a change in heart. But I told Billy, the guy minister, I said, Billy, now I want that tongue stuff. He said, you can have it. I said, okay, I want it. Nothing would happen. So every time he come around, I said, Billy, come pray for me because I want that tongue stuff. I never had anybody tell me it wasn't. He just told me you need the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, give him to me. I'll take him, you know. And I didn't have any, you know, restrictions or inhibitions about it, and false doctrine poured into my head. I just had seen it. I knew it was real, and I felt like it's supposed to be mine. I just couldn't tap into it. So it was a couple of weeks later, I cornered him again. He's at our home. And I said, okay, Billy, pray for me. I want that tongue stuff. And so he said, okay. And Kathy and I were remodeling this little three-bedroom house. We hadn't had one. It's one little room. I bet it wasn't 10 foot by 10 foot, tiny little bedroom, fresh carpet, paint, light, nothing in there, no furniture, nothing. So he drags a chair into this room, and I'm all excited. He sits right in the middle of the room, and I'm all excited. I'm going to get this tongue stuff tonight. I'm going to get this tonight. Okay? So he come in there, and he set me down in the chair, and I'm all excited, you know. I'm grinning ear to ear. And he reached over, and he turned the light out. Click. I thought, oh, I don't know about this. Okay. Okay, this is a little... Okay, now you're getting into weird. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And I don't know how he found me, but he put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, okay, Stan. He said, now, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you, but he's using your mouth, so you got to yield your tongue and just let it go and... You know, you pray to God. And I said, okay. He said, Stan. I said, what? I said, while we're whispering, I said, Stan. He said, I don't think God can hear you. And I got so tickled. I thought, this is my thought. I thought, if I got to sound like a fool to get this, I'll sound like a fool. And I opened my mouth, and it poured out. It just began right at that moment. I began to speak in a language I hadn't trained or learned or gone to college about or nothing. And the first word in my head, the first word I spoke was in the back of my head the very original night that he prayed for me. But the thing about it was, the wisdom that he was using is he removed all the inhibitions. Because I was thinking what I would sound like. It was a subconscious, subliminal thing that I would sound like a fool. Y'all with me? I had to come to a point where I'm all in with God. I'm all in. And at that point, that moment, that night, there wasn't a devil, demon on hell or in earth that could tell me that God wasn't real. Because that was a supernatural thing to happen in my life. I took a step, and I ventured out and trusted God and thought, I don't care what people say about me. And then it flowed. I can remember going to church and thinking about raising my hands with all them radical, goofy, fanatical Christians. Come on now. I got her done, you know. I finally thought, I don't care. I might have been in the back. They can't see me, but I raised my hands, you know. But I wasn't going to run with them, okay? You understand what I'm saying? Some of you charismatics or Pentecostals, you know what I'm talking about there. I wasn't going to run with the bulls, okay? But I hadn't quite got there. But, you know, you got to get to the point where, hey, I'm all in. I want the blessings of God in my life, so I'm all in, God. What is it you want me to do? So I'm going to open my heart up to him and praise you. And I'm not saying you got to raise your hands, no. But you got to be free of being just you. Right? All in with God. Be you. Get your heart right. Examine your heart. Make sure your heart is right. And it's okay not to. I'm saying it's okay not to dance, do the charismatic two-step. It's okay. Are y'all with me? Some of you hadn't been in church long enough to know what that is, okay? It's okay, but the thing of it is, it's just being you. Not being inhibited or judging anybody else because of the way they are, you just be you. And that'll open your heart up to the Lord, and man, he'll pour blessings into your life, okay? I don't know where I'm going with this. Maybe I'm ready to kick off in the Holy Ghost series. Well, let's stand together. That's enough, okay? Amen. Hope you enjoyed it. Getting something out of this tonight. Praise God. Well, I didn't pray before we started, but I want to pray for you now. I'm glad you're here. I pray that next week that folks will come that are wanting something more. Something more. And I will teach you by the Scripture what that more is. And Jesus is still doing a mighty work in people's lives today. He's filling people with the Holy Spirit. He's baptizing them in the Holy Ghost to empower them for service, empower them in their witness. Yeah, you got the seal of the Holy Ghost in you as a Christian. Yeah, you got that. You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside. But don't you want more power in your walk? Amen. That's what we'll be receiving from the Lord, because he's willing, he's ready, he's eager to strengthen your life, to touch your life. You just got to grasp hold of that hope. You got to grasp hold of the fact that God takes pleasure in you and he wants to do great things in your life. Amen? So let's just close our eyes right where we are. And right now, just put everything out of your head just for a moment to hear the Lord, what he would say to your heart right now. I'm not going to embarrass you to ask you to do anything at this moment. I'm just saying, hey, let's open our heart up to the Lord right now, right where you are. Nobody else but you and God. To say that, God, I need to hear your voice. I need your touch. I need your strength. I need your direction. I want to discover my purpose. My purpose in you and in the kingdom. Whatever that is. Lord, I'm praying for those here tonight that may be struggling. And they need to hear your voice. They need comfort in their hearts. I pray that they will have ears to hear. To hear that comfort. Whether it's through straight from you or from a brother or a sister. To be able to open their hearts up to brethren to say, I need you to pray for me. I need to hear the Lord. What would you say to me about this or about that? What do you think? And just have that interaction with one another to to allow God to work through all of us, to comfort one another, to strengthen one another, to exhort one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight who has had aught in their heart or maybe some unforgiveness, to be able to just let that go. Just to let it go, Father. Lord, I pray that in their heart right now, they will resolve in their heart that that person or that situation, they don't owe me anymore. I'm not asking that they have to pay for it and suffer. But Lord, I release them in that. The Lord, that you will work in their life and in their situation to accomplish your perfect will, Father, and that is for them to know you and the goodness of your love and your strength and your grace. So, Father, I pray that tonight we can purify our hearts. We can decide to do that and purpose to do that, to get our hearts right before you, to release anything that is hindering, and just walk in peace, Lord. Nothing that we're facing is worth our peace. So, Lord, I pray that you heal our hearts, that your anointing will restore our hearts, release us from any kind of bondage that we've been facing, turmoil, bondage and turmoil. Find the freedom in you, that peace and that refreshing of being close to you, Jesus, to hearing your voice. And I pray also in our hearts that we will have the resolve and the determination, Lord, to follow you, regardless if we understand at times, Lord. You said to trust us, trust you with our whole heart and not leaning to our own understanding, because sometimes we don't understand. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us to be a blessing in all that we do, and in our walk with one another, Father, that we will be, truly be brothers and sisters in the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. And if you need prayer, there'll be guys down here that'll pray with you. Go and be blessed and pray for next week. Pray for next Wednesday and come prepared to study the Word of God. Amen.